This is the word of the Lord. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm building on what I talked about last week. But I was thinking, what should my last words be to you before I leave? And today we say farewell. And it's a very bittersweet day. It's bitter because I won't look out on every Sunday morning and see all of you again and many of you during the week. Friendships have been developed even farther. And love has been expressed in kindness. Leaving is always bitter sweet. But obviously for us too, it's sweet because our whole family lives in the Grand Rapids area and most of our grandchildren. And so we'll get to see them on a regular basis. We will miss you. But I was thinking, what do I say to you for my last words to you? And I thought there was nothing better to say than Jesus' last words to his disciples. For you are his disciples. And these are his last words to you. These were the last words to those disciples. And when they heard those words, they did exactly what Jesus commanded. These were the words that drove their lives, no matter what happened. These were the words that echoed in their ears again and again and again. And these ought to be the words that drive you and the Church of Jesus Christ. Because these are the words of Jesus. Everything you do, everything you think, everything you are going to do to someone else or say to someone else ought to be governed by these words. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And it's not accidental that he didn't give the words first. The first thing he said was, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." What good would it do for us to hear the words if they were not under the authority of Jesus Christ? It's his authority that makes these words powerful and makes our words effective. I know sometimes on this earth it doesn't seem like that's true, that all authority and earth has been given to Jesus Christ. I mean, after all, we're in an election year, and I don't think it's going to seem like that as this year goes on. What happened to the authority of Jesus Christ? As we look around a world full of wars and rumors of wars and terrible things happening, as we live in a society full of immorality, all authority belongs to Jesus Christ in heaven and on earth. My words would be futile. Your words would be useless if this were not true. This is the very foundation that Jesus wanted to lay so that they could do what he told them to do. It's already happening in heaven, of course. I can hardly wait to be there. I mean, the singing here was glorious. Every time, every Sunday. Just amazing. And it just wouldn't hold a candle to heaven. Just wouldn't even get close. Can you imagine a thunder of the angels, and everyone singing praises to Jesus Christ. I can't get my mind around it. But all authority in heaven is His. He's on the throne. He's on the throne. We are doing what we do before a great cloud of witnesses. We act under the authority of Jesus Christ. We are effective in the authority of Jesus Christ. And so those words are so important when He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Me. And then He gives three commands with His authority. Many people think there's four commands. There's only three. I know that because I studied Greek. And in Greek, a command is a very specific form. It's an imperative. Go is not an imperative in this sentence. It's a statement of Jesus saying, basically, after you've left this mountain, these are the three things I want you to do. Now, it may inquire going great distances, but as Bev pointed out, that wasn't her calling. Most people don't have that calling to go, but that's not the command. The command is not to go. The command is to make disciples of all nations. That's the first command. Make disciples of all nations. That's the very purpose that disciples live for, is to make disciples of all nations. That's what those disciples lived and died for, to make disciples. And that's what we must live and die for also, to make disciples. Now, to make disciples has two parts to it, and they're equally important. The first is this: you lead people to Jesus Christ. You lead them to knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and how they can be rescued from their sins. That's the first part. But that isn't a disciple yet. Because a disciple has to be this. They have to be shaped into the image of Christ. In some ways, the easy part is the telling. The shaping is lifelong. Because we want them to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We don't want them just to be saved. Of course we want that. But we want them to be saved to be like Christ. That's what a disciple is. A disciple becomes like his master. And so we become like Jesus Christ more and more. That's the goal of our lives, to be more and more like Jesus Christ. To be made into disciples. Now this is a radical statement. Not that it was never said in Scripture before, because I read Psalm 96 that all the people were to do this, right? All the nations were to do this, sing to the Lord. But you know what happened to the Jews? Whoop! Our little society here, we're Jews, the rest of the world can forget it. We're the special people of God. They just internalized all the great gifts that God gave. And they did not see the whole world as what God wanted to save. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Not just the people that look and act like you. Not just the people that are the same skin color as you. Not the people who think differently than you, that have different customs than you, not the people that are just Dutch, but all the nations. It was hard for the Jews. They argued about this in the early church a lot. Because after all, how could you go to the Gentiles? The Gentiles, they're not God's people. Yes, they are, says the Apostle Paul. And he went to the Gentiles. And you and I ought to go to everyone. Everyone. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the command. Go and make disciples of all nations. And that's hard. That's hard. It's easy to get along with people that are like you, have the same customs, the same upbringing. You can fit together easily. But we're not called just to fit together with the people that we're like, but all nations, everywhere. One of my great privileges in California was to be part of a group called Revelation 7. For much of the time I was there, I was the only Dutchman in that group. There was an Egyptian, there was a Samoan, there were Spanish pastors. There were pastors of almost every background you could think of. Because our goal was to bring the message of Jesus Christ to all the nations. If you're taking notes, I got a prayer request for you right now. Write down the name Majed, M-A-G-E-D. He's an Egyptian Christian, Majed. April 24, he wrote me, he's going to the Middle East, Egypt, and to Lebanon to bring the gospel to Muslims. That's his life ministry. I am so glad Majed and I became friends. Because God wants us to go to all nations. Pray for Majed. We have missionaries we support too. Pray for them. I know you do. I know you do. But continue to do that. Because that's God's will, that all the nations hear about Jesus Christ. Radical, transformational command. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not enough to have a person simply believe. They can say, oh, I believe that. No, I don't have to be baptized. I believe it. No, I don't need to be baptized. That's absolute nonsense. Because unless you're baptized into God himself, you will not become his disciple. Baptism is not an afterthought. It's not something that is take it or leave it. It is essential. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the step of salvation that has to take place. Almost all of you here were baptized, I imagine. I don't know, maybe there's a few people here who weren't baptized. But whenever I do a baptism, I realize this. I am fulfilling God's command through Jesus Christ to baptize. It's no little thing. It's a great privilege to be baptized. Because that seals the promises of God to us. It's not just a sign. It's more than that. It is a seal. Now, kings have their seal, right? Who have you been sealed by in baptism? Not just one king of this earth, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who lives and reigns in heaven, and he put his mark on you. You've been baptized into him and it's been sealed. And what the King of Kings seals cannot ever be broken. He sealed that. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Making sure that they receive the mark of God himself upon them. And then finally, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the third command. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's the long process of making disciples. The conversion is the beginning. The baptism is the next step. But this goes on and on and on and on. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That means that you and I need to know our Bible. That means that we are teaching the Bible to other people. That means we take children to gyms, to cadets, to Sunday school, to catechism. We want them to know. That's why we have them all up here for a children's message. We want to teach them these truths. We want them to know. And that's why no one ever stops learning as a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're always being taught and learning. I have that too. I get to read all the time and study all these things, and I get to grow in the faith and know these things even more deeply than I did before. Teach them. Learn the Sermon on the Mount. Learn Jesus' parables. Know that he said above all to love one another as I have loved you. Teach. Teach them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. And love is the greatest of all. I would give up if it weren't for what it was said in the beginning of this command, these three commands, and what's said at the end. And surely, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. When Jesus says surely, you can take it to the bank. It's absolutely sure. You know, I can say surely, and you can say, oh yeah. Jesus says surely, he is going to be with you to the very end of the age. The very end of the age. This has been my calling for many years, to bring the gospel to the nations, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach people to observe everything that Jesus has commanded. And I don't give up, because I know that he has all authority, and I know he's with me forever. To the very end of the age. Be authentic, courageous followers of Jesus Christ, so that you can make authentic, courageous followers of Jesus Christ. Never fear and never falter, for all authority is with Jesus, and Jesus is with you. Let's pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that we belong to you, that you have rescued us, that nothing can separate us from your love, and that you are faithful to work out your promises through us. Make us a faithful church that never fears and never falters, but makes disciples of all nations, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaches so that we can all obey Jesus, our Lord and Master. In his name we pray. Amen.